The second Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 24, and it's verse 29, not 26, verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the sky to the other. Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good to be back with you again. Disappointing that it should be in the circumstances of Brian's absence from you, and we trust the Lord is with him and encouraging him at this time. I'll pray. Father God, again we simply say thank you for this fellowship of your people, those who've come to know you personally through a trust in the Lord Jesus, the one who did it all for us on the cross long ago and won us new life in the power of your Holy Spirit. We gather now under the authority of your word. We ask you in your mercy that you would go on speaking to us, Father, from your word, that, Father, you would grant us wills that seek to obey your word as it comes into our lives, that everything we do may add to the glory of your name. We pray for this mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 24. What is this chapter all about? Last Sunday morning, we had a look at a large slab of it. Now we go a little further. Now, there are a number of sayings around to highlight just how testing life can be. Those of us who've been around a long time would recall our former Prime Minister, Malcolm Fraser, came out with a memorable saying towards the end of his time of leading our nation. He said, "Life wasn't meant to be easy." Now, we're much used to being cynical about government, and it was very easy for us to analyse what was the political motivation behind such words. Many, however, would relate to the thought behind it. And then also came to my mind was my very far distant high school education back in those days when I'm sure many of us pored over some of Shakespeare's plays. In the play titled Macbeth, Macbeth also had a memorable statement. One sentence has stayed in my mind down through the decades. He said, "Time and tide run through the roughest day." And I guess by that, Macbeth had meant, amid the complexity of his own situation, everything will turn out as it has been meant to turn out. But we're Christians, and we can go beyond the wisdom of Malcolm Fraser, even that of Shakespeare. And no doubt, even they had their own way of drawing on the truth of the Bible. For this is the issue which chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel is really all about. What we can actually know now, what we can actually be certain of, when it comes to to what is ordained for us to pass through. And concerning what will be the eventual outcome. This is what this chapter addresses. Now, thinking back to where we were last Sunday, and I know many of us were here last Sunday morning, at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus had given a big hint to the 12. He said to them, things will not always remain as they are now. He said to them, an end is decreed for all things. And he went on to explain, lots of things are going to happen that will give us hints that there will be an end. And he told us what the hints would be. There would be false messiahs, those who claimed they were the Christ, but in fact were not. He said, there will be wars, there will be famines, drought, earthquakes, persecution. We will even detect a loss of love. We will even detect a loss of spiritual fervour among those who claim they belong to the Lord. And then Jesus brought this whole issue of distress heralding the end. He brought it much closer to home. He talked to his 12 disciples then about the distress that they then would encounter in the city of Jerusalem, where they still had their homes. And so he was saying to them, on the one hand, we will keep hearing of distress, we will keep hearing of tragedy in faraway places. On the other hand, there will be times when that distress impinges on our own immediate circumstances. But then Jesus said, all of this for a purpose. For he said to his disciples, don't be caught off guard when life turns out not to be easy. And keep on remembering, all of this is moving towards an appointed end. Why must all of this be endured? Why must all of this happen before the end comes? Now, we cannot go to the depths of the mysteries of our God and his purposes. We cannot understand it all, but we can understand some things. And we can see here two purposes. One was in verse 14, where we were last week. If we delay the time of the end, does it not make possible for the gospel to be preached across all of the world, to every tribe, to every nation, even as they've come to us here in Australia, as Tom has indicated to us already this morning? And also delaying the time of the end, this delay, and drop back another verse, verse 13, this delay reveals who are the faithful. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. So we never give up just because it has all got too hard all of a sudden. We have begun to have faith in the Lord Jesus, so we do not waver in that confidence. We maintain our confidence in the words that Jesus has given us. Now, this does appear very much as a chapter of Matthew's Gospel full of gloom and doom. And yes, maybe it is. But sprinkled all the way through the chapter is the mercy of the Lord. For here a loving Father is acknowledging for us how testing we will find all this. So we do not miss the subtlety in some of the words. Verse 15, so when we see. Or verse 22, for the sake of the elect, the days will be shortened. Or verse 22, see, I have told you ahead of time. And so again we're driven back to verse 13, he, she, who stands firm to the end, will be saved. So we stand firm in our unwavering trust in the words of promise from our Lord Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit to deepen our conviction of the truth of the words of our Lord Jesus, of their reality. And so we come to verse 29 of chapter 24, read for us a moment ago. What's the first word there? immediately. What do we get a sense of when we hear that word immediately? There does come that point when this end will come. You see, back in verse 3, the disciples had asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? The end of the age will suddenly hit us. It will hit us in the immediacy of the present moment. All the signs will have been there. The wars, the earthquakes, the drought, the persecution of the faithful. Some, so tragically, even giving up their faith. We have been told ahead of time. How literally should we read verse 29? The sun is darkened, the moon no longer gives its light, stars fall from the sky, heavenly bodies are shaken. What is all this telling us? The end means a total destruction of the creation. The end means all order, everything that's predictable, everything we've taken for granted, now forever it dissolves. In verse 2, in the immediate experience of the 12, or those who were alive within that 40-year period, still alive, some had even been martyred by then, it means that the Jerusalem temple, such a stable and permanent reminder of the grandeur of their God in the midst of their beloved Jerusalem, not one stone left on another. Certainly not there now. But now, in this verse 29, the restructuring of the creation assumes cosmic proportions. Sun, moon, and stars are no more. But then one verse more, verse 30, brings us to what this appointed end is all about. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky. They will see the Son of Man. He will come on the clouds of the sky. He will come with power and great glory. Back to verse 29. When will all this happen? Immediately. Yes, we have been warned. Yes, we are ready. Yes, we have remained steadfast, unwavering in our confidence in the declared word of the Lord Jesus. But then how overwhelming will that moment be? The Son of Man appears in the sky. We are now left speechless. The Apostle John picks up the same language in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1. Look, he says, John says, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. We go back 500 years before Jesus in the Old Testament, the days of the prophet Daniel. Daniel had a great vision. We read of it in chapters 7 to 12 of the book of Daniel, verses 13 and 14. Here are the words of Daniel's vision then. He says, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. He was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples and nations and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, one that will never pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Back to verse 31 of Matthew 24. So it adds to the drama of this great and final end time moment. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet. When we read through Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians, there he employs the same language. In a flash, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Yes, this great moment, this awe-filled moment, attested to by the voice of Scripture across many centuries, across many generations. Look again at verse 30. Why does Jesus say, all the nations of the earth will mourn? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Jesus is now writing of that moment. He writes of that moment when his reign, that moment when his kingdom, when it has now literally come. We pray the Lord's Prayer so many times. We've always prayed, thy kingdom come, your kingdom come. Well, now Jesus writes of that moment when the kingdom has now come. That prayer we prayed so often has now been answered. This being the moment when we like to talk about the kingdom now being fully consummated. The rule of Jesus in this moment is now direct. It is now immediate. The rule of Jesus is now uncontested. It is universal. None can avoid it. But again, who are those who will mourn? Will it not be those who have made life difficult for the disciples of Jesus? Will it not be those who have persecuted the faithful? We read of them in the Jeremiah reading a little earlier. They will mourn. At the moment of Jesus' appearance, they will be in no doubt as to who is the one who alone rules over all history. But of course, the other side of the story is in verse 31. Jesus sends his angels with the loud trumpet call, and they gather his elect from the four winds. They gather them from one end of the heaven to the other. Who are the elect? They are none other than those who have stood firm to the end. Jesus has his hand on his own. He calls them the elect. We have stood firm. We have held on tightly to our salvation. At the same time, we have this confidence in the Lord Jesus. And so he will gather us from wherever we have been scattered. By the time the Son of Man comes on the clouds of the sky, the elect will be found on the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. Now we get to verse 32 and we return to the general theme and idea of chapter 24 of Matthew. Again, Jesus is saying to us, read the signs of the age. Not one of us would fail to read the sign that spring is approaching. We know the trees that begin to sprout growth, just as they lost leaves in autumn. We don't have to be keen gardeners to work that out. Jesus talks about the signs of summer so obvious in the fig tree, especially the type that bear fruit. The phrase at the end of verse 32, you know that summer is near. Yes, we will never deny that life in the service of the Lord Jesus can be challenging. It will ever be stretching our capacity to stand firm to the end. But should it never take us by surprise? We always live as if the end is near. The arrival of summer never takes us by surprise. Yes, for some it is more welcome than others, especially in this past week. And we do know in this past week that in some years it comes with greater intensity than others. But its arrival never takes us by surprise. And so verse 33 brings us back from the illustration of the fig tree and the coming of summer. And we hear of the earthquakes, we hear of the drought, we hear of the endless wars and civil unrest, the loss of faith in the Lord Jesus in the lives of some, the persecution of the faithful, and those moments when distress comes right to our own doorsteps. Verse 33, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. Christians always live as if the end could come at any moment. Yes, life goes on. We get up every morning. We do the work that fills up every day. We attend to our loved ones. We look after our churches. We keep the life of our churches up and functioning. We are forever declaring the love of Christ to a needy world. but always at the back of our minds. Now let me correct that. Always at the forefront of our minds. Verse 33, you know that it is near, right at the door. Now verse 34, what about it? It seems ever so often our Bible has these verses, the ones whose meaning has been contested, debated down through the centuries, argued over across the continent and across the spoken languages. I tell you the truth. You know it's serious when it begins with these words. Any of us old enough to remember the authorized King James Version? It used to say, verily, verily, I say unto you. But Jesus now says, I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. What did Jesus mean by that? This generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Certain he was referring to the annihilation of the city of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, that will all occur in less than 40 years. Yet we are waiting still now. We still wait for Jesus to come on the clouds of the sky, to come with power and great glory. So did Jesus get it wrong when he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened? Well, Jesus never gets it wrong. Verse 35 will tell us that. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And certainly we can see Jesus' words have that level of reliability, authority. So what did Jesus mean when he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened? And we cannot get away from the fact that many generations have now passed away since Jesus said that. Well, I can only do what the great ones have done and make suggestions. Jesus may well be speaking figuratively. We all must live as if we are in the last generation of existence, as we now know it. We certainly now live in the last age of the history of time. We now live between the two comings of the Lord Jesus. So what do we take away from these verses before us this morning? One is the reality of judgment. Verse 29, creation as we now know it, sun, moon and stars set to disintegrate. And verse 30, all nations of the earth will mourn. And yet we also take away the underpinning joy of those Jesus calls the elect. The underpinning joy for those who will stand firm to the end, those who will be saved. They will see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. It will be just as the prophet Daniel said it would happen from his prophecy so many centuries previously. And then, in the words of verse 31, the elect will simply be gathered. We will have seen all things. And if I can take heart from the baffling words of verse 34, all these things will happen before this generation passes away. This definitely tells us we are dealing with a manageable length of time. So we persist, we take heart, we stand firm. Verse 32 tells us to learn from the fig tree. Never stop learning from the Word of God. And so from verse 35, this heaven, this earth, they are not going to last. But Jesus' words, they will never pass away. We call ourselves people of faith. That means we trust what Jesus has said. We know what he has promised. We trust it to be true. We go on living by it in this time of waiting, in this testing time of trial. Amen.